Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Welcome to the Riot Podcast, everybody. Today, we are sponsored by SGC Foundation. You can find out more information about them at sgc-foundation.org. This is an amazing organization that helps out kids through just some really fun events. And you're going to get to hear a little bit more about that later in the podcast. But before we do that, guys, did you get a chance to watch any football this weekend?
We get to talk about football today. I cannot wait. Are you kidding me?
This is like a schoolgirl today.
Stuff. This is the stuff, baby.
I'm looking forward to it. And yes, I did watch some football this last weekend, and I'm looking forward to actually talking about it again today.
So what do you think? Tampa Bay and the defending champs, the Kansas City. Can we say Chiefs? Are we still allowed to say that?
Yeah, we can say
that. Okay, okay. And the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you guys think? Who's going to win? Who's favored? What's going on?
I got a feeling it's going to be Kansas City Chiefs, but that's just my
You're
my
going
thought.
Against the GOAT?
I don't know. I just don't know if his
game is
good enough.
I got $100. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. Hey, guys, we live in Florida, and I will not ever pull against a team in the city that I live in.
Or the
state that I live in, right? So I am pulling for Tampa all the way, and Brady will show that it's not just his coach and it's not just the team around him, but that he is the GOAT.
Well, because I live here in the Florida state, yeah. I'm going to root for Tampa. So that's going to be where I'm at.
Kansas City's going to win?
I don't know, man. So I don't know.
No, you already said it. You cannot retract that.
I don't know.
Is he
I'm
trying
just
to
saying.
Play both sides there?
Oh,
that way, that
I,
way the show afterwards.
That's what it looks
be,
like.
Yeah,
that's what it looks
I said
like.
Would happen.
I could do that.
But speaking about quarterbacks, not Barry, Pete, do you have someone that you would like to introduce today?
Yeah, today we have a special guest. It's my friend, my good friend, and he was a quarterback for many years back in the days, and many of you might know who he is. And he quarterbacked for the Redskins, he quarterbacked for the Raiders, he quarterbacked for the Bengals, and he quarterbacked for the Cardinals. And so he had a pretty good long year. He's also a Pro Bowler. He's also won a Super Bowl. And he's a man that just loves God, and he's been heavily involved with FCA and just many things. We've got to hang out with him a lot over the years, and our daughters share a birthday together, and so we've done quite a few birthdays together, and we've just done life together. So
hey, can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, I haven't introduced him yet, though.
Oh, well, yeah, but he shares a birthday with my daughter.
Nice.
Which daughter?
How many daughters do I have?
Your daughter's March 5th? No.
No.
Oh, his birthday.
June 28th.
Oh, June 28th. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're talking about none other than Mr. Jay Schrader. Thank you, sir, for being on the show today.
I am honored to be here. And you guys said you were going to talk about football. I don't know if I know anything about football, but
yeah, you
we'll
know
figure
a little
it
bit.
Out. All that. But no, it's an honor to be here and honor to be on your show. And it's fun to reconnect after all these years.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those things that when I found out that you were going to be in town, you came in for the SGC Foundation golf tournament. It was awesome to be able to reconnect. And we got to go, Bob, you and I got to go play there yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Are you sore today at all?
No, I'm not. And I even was smart enough to put sunscreen on, so I'm not beat red either. So
my face wasn't too bad either. I was thinking that I was going to be all red in my face, but I was okay. I was, you know.
Well, guys, let me just break in. This is an elf moment. You guys are not doing this as well. I know him. This is a Santa Claus moment. I graduated from high school in 1986, and this guy was a quarterback for the world champion team, Washington Redskins, man. Awesome. Come on. We got the man in the house today. What's up?
That's awesome.
That just goes to show you how old I am. You know, he's watching me and, you know, saying I'm his childhood idol. That makes me feel real old. So no wonder everything hurts.
Well, talking about the Redskins, tell us a little bit about that. So what was your experience there, and what are your highlights or things that you can say from the Redskins experience? And we can go talk about the Raiders too.
Well, listen, I was blessed. I got to play 11 years in the NFL for some great organizations and some great people. I spent 4 years in Washington, played for Joe Gibbs, which was astounding, won the Super Bowl there. And then I got traded to the Raiders, played 5 years there, 1 year in there. Cincinnati and 1 year in Arizona. So I've been blessed. I've been blessed. And my first 9 years in the league, I was in the playoffs 8 times. So spoiled on top of it and all that. So Really good run. Look back on it with fond memories. Are there things we'd like to change if we could go back? I think we all have that in life, you know, because we grow older and we kind of figure out what life really is. But you know what? It made me a better person, too. So you got the ups and the downs, and you go through all of them, and you become a better person overall.
I remember when Joe Theismann went down and you came in, and I remember everybody going, who the heck's Jay Schrader? I remember that. And then how you, what did you, you went on to win, like, right, the next three, 4 games or something like that? Or what
we happened? Won 5 out of the 6 remaining games.
Yeah. And everybody's like, okay, this is who this is.
I will brag because the only game we lost the rest of that season was a Monday night game to some guy named Montana.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that guy.
Right?
Yeah, but, you know, they weren't that good at back then either. So, but, no, you talk, you know, you talk about life-changing moments. That was my life-changing moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy standing on the sidelines holding a clipboard that nobody knows about to being thrust into playing on a Monday night game in Washington, D.C. And, oh, by the way, President Reagan's in the stands.
Right.
And, you know, we end up winning that game. And the next day I get a call from the White House asking that I come and visit with President Reagan.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. I'm 23 years old. I've got no clue, right? You know? And,
yeah.
And you just roll with it and became very good friends with President Nancy Reagan. They were tremendous people, and it was a lot of fun.
I gotta hear more about that story sometime.
Not only that, so after he wins the Super Bowl with Washington Redskins, the next year he goes into the Raiders. Then you surround yourself with like unbelievable athletes there. Yeah. You had what, Marcus Allen, right? You had
Bo Jackson, Tim Brown, Mervin Fernandez, Willie Gault, Ron Brown, who had a gold medal, Sam Grady, who had a gold medal. These guys that could flat out just phenomenal athletes. Terry McDaniel was a defensive back. Lionel Washington. I mean, we literally, when I was with the Raiders, we could have made up 2 4x100 teams and finished 2 and 3, if not one of the top three. All both those teams from the Raiders could have finished second or third, first and second in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how
fast. At the Olympics.
Yeah, at the Olympics. That's how fast these guys were. It was phenomenal, and just the athletic ability. You know, that's, as an athlete, that's all we ever dreamed about is, what would my talents look like against the best in the world?
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to do that for 11 years.
That is amazing.
I mean, that's the greatest challenge you can, you know, have as an athlete.
Was Bo Jackson all the hype that they say?
No question.
Yeah.
No question. The first time I met Bo, when I got to the Raiders, he was coming off a baseball season. It was a Monday. He got there after a game, and we were doing our walkthrough out there, and they asked if I would stay and throw a couple of passes to Bo, and I said, sure. And they wanted to run him in a 40 just to see if he was in shape. So he didn't bother taking off his Nike tennis shoes. He just ran 2 40s on the grass and everything else. And the second one, I walked over, and I was looking at him going, okay, that's a 235-pound large man, but he looked like he was running rather fast. And so I walked over and I asked the coach, I said, what did you get him at? He goes, 4.13.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. And on grass and tennis shoes.
In tennis shoes. I was like, he looked fast. And I was like, yeah. Well, phenomenal athlete. Mystery, you know, unfortunate incident. Had a hip replacement. Goes back and plays baseball and is still one of the fastest baseball players to play.
Yeah.
With an artificial hip. I'm like, who does that stuff?
Yeah.
Who runs sideways on an outfield wall? Nobody except for Bo.
And his upper body strength was just amazing.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
He's a chiseled dude.
I could throw a football a long way, and Bo could throw it just as far as I could. He was just a phenomenal athlete.
Oh, my gosh. It just blows your mind, right? Yeah.
God said, let me make you an athlete. Boom, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, he did whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense.
I've never known an athlete like that. I mean, I've known some really good athletes that were phenomenal in many sports, but he just excelled at everything that he did.
Well, I used to tease him all the time because I was Bo before Bo. He just made it popular
because
he played baseball, and I did that too. And he was like, "We have that in common." And then he just looked at me and he said, "Yeah, you're just a little bit better than me, but that's okay."
I think most people. Wow. I think most people don't realize that you played for the Blue Jays, that you were drafted and
I did. I played 4 years of professional baseball before I got into football, so I spent 15 years as a professional athlete. So very, very, very blessed.
Yeah, because you ask people, they knew. Have you ever heard of Jay? Your name is, people know you. You know that everywhere you go, people know you.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, you start to think of these things as you get older and you reflect on life. I'm the only person in the world that's played baseball against Pete Rose and handed off to Walter Payton.
Wow. Oh, yeah, in the Pro Bowl.
In the Pro Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool.
Try to make that combination. So we used to, when I was with the Blue Jays. When I was with the Blue Jays, we used to go over to St. Pete and play the Phillies all the time. And Pete, we were playing. So, yeah, played baseball against Pete Rose in a spring training game, in major league game, and then handed the football off to Walter Payton. So I've been blessed.
I didn't even know you played football or baseball until PETA told me. So I was, sometimes the internet's not right, but it said that you were not just played baseball, but you were the third pick in the draft. Is that correct?
I was the third pick in the first draft coming out of high school.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a catcher.
Yeah.
His face looked like a catcher's.
Yep. Now, how could you steal on that, right? How could you steal second on this guy?
Well, you mentioned that because in my high school league, I went to Palisades High School in L.A., and we played Crenshaw, and Daryl Strawberry was on that team. So we played against each other in high school, and they would not steal. Yeah. I mean, I'd be begging them to steal, and the coach was like, don't you even think about it. So it was a lot of fun. But
even with that type of speed on the team.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He went to high school with Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. So and my one of my high school football buddies and co-player was a guy by the name of Forrest Whitaker. You might have heard of him.
Forrest Whitaker was there too. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Small world.
Did you know him?
Yeah.
You knew him back in the days. Yeah. Did you know Jeannie as well or no?
Oh yeah.
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 Well, you two have been friends for a long time. Why don't we hear some stories about some of that?
Yeah, we have a lot of stories. I guess, one of the highlights was our time when we get to go to London together. That was a lot of fun.
Why did you go to London?
Well, let me just tell you the first story that was stand out the most. So we're big guys, me and Jay. And so we're getting off the airplane in Manchester. And so we land in Manchester and we're going down and we need to rent a car, right? So we go down and they give us the key to the car and we go down into the garage and we're looking for the car. And I'm telling you, we're not going to fit in these cars. They're all small. You know, in England, they're smaller cars.
Pete and I couldn't sit in the seats side by side. And then Steve, who was with us, is the size of Barry. And the back seat had about 2 inches of leg room. And we're looking at this
car. And we had all of our luggage.
The guy's looking at us and we're like, this ain't going to work.
And we bring in a lot of luggage with us because we're going to be giving stuff away and we're going to be doing stuff for ministry-wise once we're there. And so we go back in, we're coming, and we went back and forth like 2 to 3 different times trying to find a car that we go. So we ended up getting this Mercedes-Benz. So we're calling up, we're doing like a ministry thing, and we're pulling up in this Mercedes-Benz. We're like, yeah, they were rocking it. And so we finally got it. But it was really fun because we got in it pitch dark. In England, you drive on the opposite side of the road. And so here's Jay. Jay's driving. We're going in, and nobody told us. We didn't have GPS. You did not have a phone back then. We did not have any of that. We had no maps, nothing. It's pitch black in here where we're at.
And when you come to a roundabout in the pitch black, if you see one sign that tells you where to go, you're lucky. But we probably went through 15 that night and took a wild guess and just went, I think we need to go here. I had never been there. Steve had no clue. Pete is the only one that's ever been there. And I'm like, dude, you better. So we did a lot of praying in the car trying to get
there. The fun part was, because I remembered a little bit, we were in a cornfield. And we were going in a cornfield in the middle of the dark, middle of the night, and we're in a cornfield. But I remembered certain things in the cornfield of where we were actually going. And so because we were going to a city called Mansfield, right outside of Nottingham. And so that's kind of what
is
we
that
were doing.
The Knights who say, nee.
Yeah, right. So anyway, we finally ended up getting there, and that was a lot of fun. But no, we went there because we did a little bit of ministry in the different schools, and also Sky Sports was following us around and for the NFL. And then also Jay was able to, in London, do a call. You did a call for the Thursday Night Football down there.
I did.
You want to go ahead and share a little of that?
Yeah, because of that, we went over there to do ministry and ran into Sky Sports. One of the producers over there found out I was going to be there, so we did a little thing. I did a Thursday Night Football, which actually turned into a 4-year career of me going over and doing NFL telecast over in London. So awesome. I would fly over, sit in the studio, and broadcast NFL games. So awesome. That was a lot of fun. So it was a blessing to do that. It was a blessing to get into the schools and have the kids actually want to know what American football looks like and all that. So we had a great time. Weather was miserable, like it always is in London, but we had a great time.
Yeah, and one of the highlights, too, I remember the story. I was going, and we were in London, and I remember the green room. I didn't realize how many people actually listened to football in the middle of the night in London. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that watched it. But we're getting there in London. It's right before the show, and we're getting ready to go to bed. Jay got his own room, and I was bunking up with Steve, a friend of ours, Steve. And we walked into the room, and it's this little Japanese kind of room. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so they have these little slat little beds, right? And so I'm looking at that bed, and there's two of them side by side. And I'm going, that's a little close, you know, Steve. We're going to be sleeping really close. And I go, you make sure you stay on that side. I'll stay on this side. And so Steve's like, oh, no problem, no problem. So anyway, so we're getting ready for bed, and Steve comes out of the bathroom butt naked. I mean, absolutely butt naked. And I'm sitting there going, dude, we're going to be spooned. Dude, you're way too close to me.
Now these cots were probably 18 inches wide. Maybe.
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, this is not happening. I had trouble sleeping that all night. But that was one of the highlights I remember. We laughed so much on that trip.
I think we changed our plans every day on that trip.
Yep.
Everything that was planned never went accordingly.
Yep.
And everything changed on the fly, and we ended up staying different places and all that. But it was great. I mean, it all worked out, and the blessing was we got into all those schools and got to see all those kids, and it was great.
And not only that, I just made me think of something too just now. The Sky Sports, which is an affiliate of Fox Sports here in the United States, they got to hear the gospel message. I mean, over and over. I mean, every location that we were going to, they followed us and were going with us.
Awesome.
And it was a constant, you know, and it was really cool. And so I think that was a major highlight, that trip that we got to go on. Well, with that said, anything else, guys, you want to talk about or go next question with him?
I want to hear the story about you chasing a little girl in London.
Barry, you don't. I gave him one job in London, one job to hold my Super Bowl ring. And the next thing I know is there's this 9-year-old, 10-year-old girl running with my ring.
I cannot believe it.
So
tell us about
that's my story.
So here's where we're at. So we went ahead. There's two different things. There's a PE class, physical education, and RE classes in London or England. And so RE classes are religious education. So we went ahead and we taught some of those classes. It was really cool. We brought in footballs. We gave out footballs everywhere. Everywhere we went, we gave out 10, 20, 30 footballs. We brought over a whole bunch. But this one class we did was we said, okay, we're going to do footballs. And so Jay was on the left side. I was on the right side. We're throwing passes and making everybody go out. We're having fun. Well, afterwards, everybody wanted to talk to Jay. You would not believe how many people knew about Jay. You would not believe how many people would look him up or they knew him in England. They knew who he was. They knew what was going on. So this one little girl was sitting there, and he knew that I was showing them his thing, and we were letting them hold it. They wanted to see how big it was and how much it weighed, and we're right there. But this one girl grabs it, and she took off. She took off, so I got her really quick. So I, whoa.
What were y'all showing?
I got her really quick.
And the ring.
The little thing called Super Bowl ring. Yeah.
So
anyway. Hey, how much is a Super Bowl ring worth? What do you think?
Each year is different.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're all completely different.
So what was your Super Bowl ring? Not worth to you, but just what would you say?
If you wanted to put a dollar value on it, it's about $15,000, the one I have.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. And but this little girl is running through the school with that ring, and Pete is chasing her. Wait.
Yeah.
Oi, oi.
Well, and the other thing is, what Pete didn't tell you is as we're driving through that cornfield trying to figure out where we're going, I'm trying to make sure we don't hit anything because we have this Mercedes we just rented in London. And I'm like, what is this going to cost?
Right.
And, you know, say, hey, I hit a goat or a cow in the middle of the night.
Well, not just that. It's natural to go to the other side of the road. Forcefully tell your brain to stay
on the wrong
left.
Side of the car, on the wrong side of the road. And I'm like, this is crazy. So, no, it was a good time. We had a great time, and we're very fortunate that we had that opportunity to go and do ministry. And Bryce is doing great over there, so it's always good.
Yeah, there's a pastor there. He's Calvary Chapel Mansfield. And so I'm in contact with him and talked. I think they actually listen to the show, so he'll probably listen to this.
Hello, Bryce.
Yeah, right? So tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are on the Super Bowl. So I really want to get that. So what's your take on Kansas City? What's your take on Tampa and all that?
Well, here's my take on the Super Bowl. Kansas City is the best football team in the league. Okay, if they play to their capabilities, nobody's going to beat them. They just have too much talent, and they have one thing that you can't coach, and that's speed. They've got guys that just are faster than your guys.
Yeah,
they're and all that. So if they play a perfect football game, nobody's going to beat them. Now, if they play 90%, they'll probably still win. If they play 80%, everybody's got a chance, including the Bucks.
Right,
they're the next level. And all that. So it's going to come down to turnovers and how those things go. But, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs have proven over the last 2 years, they don't care if they're down by 10 points in the first quarter. They're just like, all right, I guess we got to score a little bit more than we normally do then. And then just go on that run. That no
I think they have advantage in the coaching as well.
Yeah, and they just, you know, they have the ability to, you know, it's a cliche, but to turn it on. But they can turn it on because they're so good and they know each other. And yes, Andy Reid, well, last year when he won the Super Bowl, I was more proud for Andy Reid than anybody else, because Andy Reid is a great guy.
Yeah.
And has been around a long time. Every quarterback that's ever played for him has had career years underneath him. And I was like, man, I would have loved to play for a guy like that, you know, because he brings out the best in you.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good game, but I think in the end, Kansas City's going to win. Sorry, Tampa fans, but that's just my analytical. But on the other hand, you know, you talk about quarterbacks, Tom Brady, what he's been able to do is phenomenal. I mean, the career that he's had, it's going to go down as, you know, the greatest ever to play a team sport that's individual. And, you know, we were talking ahead of time, Bob, you know, this will be his 10th Super Bowl. That's unbelievable, number one. Number two, this will be his 45th playoff game, which means he's played three seasons of playoff games.
It's just nobody's
even close.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, nobody's even close to that. And so you've got to give him credit. And I know everybody's like, oh, I'm tired of Tom Brady winning. Well, guess what? That's too bad, because Tom Brady's really good.
Yeah.
You know, and what makes him really good is he makes everybody around him better. And
he simplifies the game, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't overcomplicate it.
No, the game is very simple.
Yeah.
And people love to watch the new football, throw it around, Kansas City playmakers. Tom Brady knows football. We need to run the ball. We need to throw a little play action.
Right.
I've got these tight ends that are big guys that I can throw to, and then every now and then I'll throw one down the field.
Right.
We'll be in the game.
They keep people honest. Guess what? Yeah.
They're in the game all the time.
Yeah.
And we all have seen it that if he has a chance at the end of the game, somehow, some way, he finds a way to win it. And that's what's made him who he is today.
I just think with Andy Reid, too, he's really smart. And it just seems like he really puts together a strong game plan. And I was just watching their last game, and I'm just like, man, this is...
Well, I love Andy Reid for two reasons. Yes, he knows the game of football, and there's no question about that. But two, he relates to his players unbelievably. And we all know how hard a job it is. He keeps the game fun. That's why they do the underhand stuff. They do the shifts. They do the pivots. You know, everybody does the pirouette. He keeps it fun. He keeps his guys engaged. And when you do that, what are they going to do? They're going to go do the best they can for you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just respect and love. That's where that comes in. And that's what I love about him. The other guy that had it before him that proved it was Tony Dungy.
Yeah, love
he
Tony.
He did the same thing. And so, you know, anytime those guys have success, you got to be proud of them.
I heard when you were talking about Brady, you said something in your conversation about the best individual in a team sport of all time. And you always hear the comparisons between MJ and LeBron going back and forth. How do you think? I mean, obviously you just said what you said, but I think, you know, you can argue with me if you want, but I think MJ is still the best in basketball. But how does he compare?
You can't. It's apples and oranges. You can't.
Sure.
Okay. Yes, basketball is a team game technically, but it's not. It's individual. Hmm. It's an individual game. You guard your guy. You got to, you know, it's a lot of individual play. Baseball is very individual. Pitcher throws it. Guy hits it.
Right.
Next guy has to pick. Right. It's all individual play. Football is organized chaos. You got 11 human beings trying to do one thing versus 11 human beings being decided by 7 human beings to make sure you're not killing each other.
Ooh.
It's chaotic, okay? And you, as a quarterback, I cannot throw a pass if I'm laying on my back. That means my 5 linemen have to do their job. I'm no good at quarterback if my receivers don't catch it. That means they have to catch the ball. It means I have to give them a ball to catch. Running backs can't run anywhere. They don't. Everybody's relied on everybody else. So that's what I said. He's the best individual at the ultimate team game.
Wow.
That's a great picture.
Yeah.
That is really good. Never looked at it that way.
Yeah.
I'm glad y'all are getting on board.
See, football guys understand that because, you know, Barry was a lineman. He's like, he never got enough credit. And I tell this to people all the time. You know, in football, everybody, if the team's not doing well, two things are going to happen. They're going to replace the head coach or they're going to replace the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares who they run in at left guard. And I'm like, I care.
Right.
That's a big deal to me when that guy comes in. You know, I remember my last year in Arizona. No, I was in Cincinnati my second to last year. We were going down to play the old Houston Oilers, and Buddy Ryan was the coach. And I played against Buddy when he was in Philadelphia. And I knew there, the minute I got off the bus, I was going to get blitzed. I was going to hit by somebody, right? So I go out there for Cincinnati, and I look at the first play of the game, and I'm taking survey. Left tackle's a first-year player. Left guard was a rookie. Center was a rookie. Right guard was off the practice squad. He's a first-year guy, and the right tackle was a six-year veteran. I went, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long day, you know. And we lost the game, but we were in it until the final 2 minutes. So I was very proud of the guys in fighting, because that's a tough team to prepare for when they're blitz.
Yeah, you have to pick those things up. So, Barry, what's your thoughts? Any questions you want to talk to him regarding the – like what you were saying before.
You're going to let me loose to ask this guy questions?
Yeah.
So let me ask the ultimate question first.
Okay.
I mean, I dreamed of playing in the NFL. There are so many people that dreamed of playing in the NFL. But you not only played in the NFL for 11 years, you won the game, the Super Bowl. And tell us what it's like to fight, train, work, pray, seek whatever it takes and find yourself in that position. To just talk us through what the quarterbacks today of, you know, are doing to prepare for that, and what it's like to be on that field when the lights are turning off and you are the world champion.
Well, people don't have any idea the preparation that goes in. Just for a normal game, my schedule, I was up by 5:30, quarter to six at the facility by 6:30. We started team meetings at 9 o'clock, went all day, ended up practice, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock. I'd stay after, throw to a receiver or two, go home, have dinner, watch tape for a couple hours, go to bed, get up and repeat. Yeah. That was life for 11 years.
Wow.
Okay. With one day off to try to recover, with normally a Tuesday. So it's not just Sunday. Sunday's the fun part for us, because we get to test what we've learned and what we do, and against the best players in the world. So it was always a test. It was always a challenge to do that. But as you said, we got to the pinnacle with Washington. The bond that that team had is phenomenal. We can not see each other for 20 years, get back together, and it's like we never missed a beat.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, with those guys, and it's remarkable. But to the other side, when you're on the field after the game and you've done all the press and all that, and you walk out there and you realize, man, we just accomplished this goal. And one of the things that I was taught very early on in life by a great human being, he taught me, football's what I do, it's not who I am. And at that moment, you have to remember who you are, and that I was blessed to be able to play the game and get that far. But also the question was, came to my head, so what are you going to do with it now?
That's amazing, Jay. You know, you said it. There was some really good people that poured into you. And tell us about that person that really poured his life in you, that you would become the man you are now, and the man that won the Super Bowl. And, I mean, you entered into the NFL in a very, very tough situation with Joe Theismann going down. And I think you said you were 23 years old.
23 years old, yep. Came in 23 years old, but I knew I'd been prepared for that moment. And the guy that I've had a lot of people pour a lot of things into me, but the guy that did most of it was Homer Smith. He was my coach at UCLA, Harvard Divinity School, coached at Army. I mean, just a tremendous human being. He would come recruit me to go to UCLA, but he would come to my baseball games because he wanted to know me as a person. And he was the one that taught me football or baseball is who, what you do, but who are you? And I was like, that's a good thought. Always remember, who are you? And he also taught me that, you know, when people think of you, because everything I did, I had a jersey on with the name on the back of my jersey. The people, you say a name, people have thoughts. What thoughts do you want? How are you going to conduct your life? What are you going to do? And I've always remembered that. And he just instilled that, hey, be a better person than you are a player. And then you'll never have any problems. So you just try to live up to that.
if you're running a little bit behind and you didn't get that to write down, come on now.
Right.
I mean, on your computer, pull the slider back just a little bit and listen to that again.
Yeah.
And it really is more important what you do. I mean, who you are than what you do. It is amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us, Jay. Yeah. And let's take it to heart, man. It is true. I am a pastor. That's what I do. But who am I? I want you to think about that today. And what a great statement by an incredible man.
I think it goes back to also to saying a little bit of how Homer Smith took time. It is Homer Smith, right?
Yep.
That's all right. How he took time to pay interest in you because he had a greater purpose.
Right.
Homer knew that he had a purpose to speak life into you.
Yeah.
He had a purpose to help you in your life. And he was that mentor. And that really helped set the course. And there's a lot of young people today that don't really have that. You know, maybe mom and dads are not there. Maybe there are some that have a coach, but maybe he's not that best coach or something. Right. And so the importance of really finding, you know, those people to really come alongside you to speak life, to know that. I guess that, what does it say in the Bible? You are who you hang out with, right? So if you're going to be hanging out with bad people, you're going to become that bad person. You hanging out with good people, your lifestyle is going
to
change.
Right. And to take that even a step farther, I can give you another story for him, because I did not realize when I was leaving baseball, getting back into football, Homer was a big contact for me and set up some workouts and had me come down to UCLA. I did not know until 2 years into my NFL career what the man actually did for me, because he called me and asked me some advice because he was getting ready to take the offensive coordinator job at the Kansas City Chiefs. He was going to move from college football, where he had spent his whole life, try to jump into the NFL, and he wanted to know what the differences were and all that. And I told my mom, I had a phone call, I said, well, I'm going to talk with Coach Smith. And she says, oh, by the way, she says, make sure you thank him. And I'm like,
for what? Okay,
for what? I said, what are you talking about, Mom? He goes, well, he never told you? And I go, what? And I said, you realize Coach Smith wrote a letter to every NFL team telling them how great you were, even though you hadn't been playing football for 4 years.
Wow.
I was like, he did what? So I asked him about it, and he said, yeah. He said, I was just honored to be able to do it. Just very humble. And I was like, you have... Do you realize what that did for me? I mean, the impact. So, tremendous human being. And every time something comes up, I think, you know, hey, what does Jesus do? What would Homer do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because he had that kind of influence.
Yeah, it just makes me just, again, constantly, I think, Barry, we were talking about this a little before, is constantly have that mindset. You know, you look at Paul in the Bible, and he was always looking for ways that he can speak life into people, thinking of Timothy and so forth. And there's always that need for Pauls in your life, you know, people that could speak into you. And the importance of that, and the importance of going out of your way to really find somebody that you can really impact. And not make them you. That's not what we're saying. Not to try to mold them and shape them into your beliefs, your thoughts, your thing system. But from a spiritual perspective, to really speak life into people, to teach them how to trust Jesus, the ultimate guide, the ultimate person. Mm-hmm. And to surround yourself with people that you can do that. And in sports, man, you can't find that anymore. I mean, if you could teach an athlete to train hard, to work out hard, to be the best athlete on the field, but more important, you can train them to lean not on their understanding, but to trust and acknowledge God in all things. Or you can train them and teach them to fall to their knees in prayer and surrender. You could teach them to really be a light into darkness, to be a difference maker for good. Mm-hmm. I mean, now you've taken it to a whole nother level. And so that's just something that I heard from that. Barry, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I want to do today is give a really big shout out to FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yeah.
And Jay, I know that you've been really involved with FCA, and FCA has opened up a lot of opportunities for you, as it has for me. And I can even say, this weekend we had a big group of athletes come to our church because of FCA, and 12 of them gave their life to Christ. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. I just can't think FCA. Tell us about how FCA impacted you and how you have come along FCA.
Yeah, FCA came along to me after my playing career. I ran into it after I was doing some ministry work, and people asked me to get involved. We had a gentleman that was in Colorado, run the state of Colorado, Donnie D. We were trying to get him to come to Southern California to start FCA there, and we convinced him to do that, and I was able to go help him and just get things started in Southern California, watch it grow, do camps, get into schools and all that. And lo and behold, you know, it's just when you do things and you don't expect anything, some people are always watching. And in this case, it was my oldest son. And my oldest son was a very good baseball player, played at UCLA, played a couple of years for the Cardinals in the minor league system, hurt his arm where he couldn't pitch anymore. And I told him, okay, I'll come help you move. I'll drive back with you. He says, no, I want some time. And he says, but I want to talk to you when I come through. I was living in Utah at the time before he goes home. I said, sure. So he stopped and he blew me away. He was like, he stopped. He says, I'm sorry I disappointed you. I said, don't even think about that. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, you are a great young man. I said, you got great things in front of you. I said, can't be understood. And then he asked me, he says, what do you think if I go to work with FCA? Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, come absolutely. On.
And he's done that his entire year life, worked with FCA, worked his way all the way up, and has done some great things for them. And now he's enjoying his life, not only with FCA, but he's the head baseball coach at San Diego Christian University. So very, very proud of all my kids. But, you know, you never know who that impact is, and we always want to be giving that impact. And we have other kids. I have other kids that, you know, went into coaching because they call me and I go, why did you get into coaching? They said, because of the way you treated me. Hmm. And I'm like, you know, what an honor, right? And to do other things. And then I have other students that really weren't very good athletes, but you get them out on the football field and you just teach them not to quit in life. And next thing you know, they call you and they go, hey, coach, I just got accepted to the Air Force Academy. Mm. I mean, come on. It's wonderful to be able to have that impact. And, you know, it's a blessing, and that keeps you going. I was a high school coach and AD for 25 years after I got done. It was best time of my life, pouring yourself into kids.
Guys, please hear the message that's coming through very clearly that, you know, if we have Super Bowl championships in our resume, that's great. But I want you to know the people that poured into you, you owe it to them to pour it into others. And this man has not only won a world championship, but he's made a lot. He's made a world of champions. And that's what really going to be our legacy is the people who we pour into, is the people who we loved and shared Jesus Christ with. And you know, if you are a pastor out there and you're discipling and you're pouring your life into others, I'm telling you, it will never come back void. And it not only changes individuals, it changes genealogies. And I just thank you for what you do. And Jay, thank you for how you have poured into kids and how you have taken the things that your mentor taught you and poured into others. So let me ask you guys out there, who are you pouring into? Because I'm telling you, that's really what a champion is. And
you know, another thing I was just thinking, Ray Lewis once said, you know, great old Ray Lewis, he said, no matter the circumstances you may go through, just push through it. And I was just thinking that. I mean, that's it. In life, in general, we are faced with circumstances. And as an athlete, I mean, it's got to be, I mean, think about it. The competition, once you get to the higher levels, the competition, I mean, you guys are equal. I mean, it's really close. And I think the temptation to want to quit, the temptation to want to give up, the temptation to just call it a day has got to be great, right? And I think I could see that from the life. But can you talk about a time maybe in your life that where that was challenging? Well,
there's no question. You get to that point, and you know, especially when you're young, 23, 24, you think you're invincible. Right. And you know, all it took was one time Reggie White landing on my shoulder, and I realized I couldn't lift up my arm and I couldn't throw a football 5 yards. Ooh. All of a sudden, you're pretty humbling.
Yeah.
Wait, this is, what do I do? I can't pick up the thing that's my livelihood and throw it, you know, across the table right now. Separated my shoulder and took some time, and it's tough because when you get injured in that type of profession, you're kind of isolated. You're on the sideline. If you can't really do anything, you know, you're not much of a part. And that takes some guts and determination to get through.
Right.
Because you've got to have, you know, a lot of faith and a lot of willpower to get through, because rehab is no fun for anybody. And especially at that level, because you get isolated because you can't do the things you are supposed to do with your teammates. And that makes it really hard. And a lot of guys fight that. And that's where a lot of depression and mental health issues come in, because they can't overcome that because they don't know, or they don't have that basic foundation of, hey, it's just football. It's just a game. You know, I did it for 11 years and yet I retired at 34. So, you know, you can only do it so long. But I have a whole life yet to go. And that's what keeps me going every day.
You were telling me, Jay, and this blows my mind, that there was a dark moment in your family's life, that one of your family members really struggled with an issue. And so it's one thing to overcome adversity as an athlete with a team around you and with a coaching staff around you and mentors around you. But how did you handle the adversity that I'm talking about?
Well, what you're talking about is my middle son, CJ, Christopher J, at 6 and a half, had a brain tumor that required emergency surgery. And it wasn't just a brain tumor. It was where they separated the two halves of his brain, dug down 4.5 inches, cut a tumor out, and put him back together. So, and he had asked me if I would be there with him. That, to me, was a no-brainer. So I walked into the coaching staff, said, early before everybody else got there, said, I'm out. And they're like, what for? I said, personal reasons. When you come back? Don't know. I'll find out. So spent the next 7 to 10 days in intensive care with my son. And it was to the point where when they take him into the operating room and the chaplain's there, yeah, it's, you know, things are touch and go. But he's doing great. Survived 2 brain tumors. Second one, we did a high dose of gamma knife radiology when he was 10. He's now 34, got 2 beautiful kids and loving life. So very blessed. He's our miracle. And, you know, people ask me all the time and I go, I can't explain it. All I can tell you is that God saved him.
So, Jay, you've had some incredible coaches, and your coach at UCLA and Joe Gibbs at, you know, the Redskins. Tell us about your relationship with the Lord and how that's impacted you.
Well, everywhere I've gone, I've been able to keep my relationship. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's ever been perfect. It never is. And have there been times when you question it? Of course. You know, you're sitting there, you're lying, you're hurt, and you're like, God, you gave me this ability to do this. Now you're taking it away. What are you trying to do? Well, yeah, I'm going to make you a better person. That football thing's going to come and go. Who cares? You know, but I want you to be a better person. So I was very fortunate and been my entire life been able to continue to grow, continue to read the word, continue to be humbled by what he's done in my life and the doors that he's opened up. And that's all I can do. Basically, I live my life to go, yeah, I'm here to serve you. So what are we doing? And try to figure it out.
So Jay, our people that are going to be listening to this now, tell us now, what is your passions now? What are you doing now? And tell us what you're up to.
Well, I work with the SGC Foundation. It's a foundation. Steve Ganser and I run a foundation, and we do fun things like golf tournaments all over the country. A lot of it that has to do with kids in children's hospitals, kids with cancer, autistic kids. I'm very connected with kids, obviously, through my personal experience. So anything we can do. So we go around to different cities, get sponsors, and just try to have a good time. But basically, raise the awareness and help children all over the country. So even in this pandemic, we've got 12 events scheduled this year. We'll travel all around. And that's what brought us here for, you know, base camp here locally. We always find somewhere local that we can give the money to. Money doesn't go back to us. We're a 501(c), and, you know, totally nonprofit. Everything goes out to the hospitals, and that's what we love. And I got connected with Steve, and Steve and I hit it off right away because we had one very ultimate goal. What can we do for kids?
Hmm.
Bottom line.
So find out what your passion is. Find out something that matters to you and do good. I mean, really, make a difference. And, you know, I see that in Jay's life, you know, opportunities are there to make a difference. And he's not only capitalized on him, he's really made a difference. And I really see that in your life, and I appreciate that.
You know, I was just thinking, going back to kind of talking about the adversity and talking about that different part. I mean, let's just face it, it's life, right? And regardless of what you're doing in life, we're going to face hardship. I face hardship, you face hardship, we've had. And some of them are even worse than others, and, yeah. and so on. But the reality of that is if you do not have your core, if you do not have that foundation solidified in your life, it could be devastating. And it does get to a point where you do question your faith at times, especially when the circumstances are rough. And I've been there, and I'm sure we've all been there. And one of the things that I've learned in life is that if you truly give God a shot, if you truly do surrender to Him, if you truly do let Him be God of your life. It's like you got to shut up and you just got to worship and you just got to pray and you just got to be in His Word and just really seek Him is all that you got. If you just really do that, I guarantee you He is faithful. I guarantee you that He is more than enough. I guarantee you that He will get you through all circumstances and all things. And I think in the sports world, we understand the adversity when we've played. I played at a high level. James played at a high level, and you understand it. You get that. But at the same time, I think it helps prepare you for life, because in life, it's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy. And if you can find in that time of your life that the core foundation, it helps you, right? It helped propel you.
It does help you. And I'll give you a little trick, and people think I'm weird because everybody's on the go and we have so much stimulus nowadays. But I challenge everybody out there to spend 10, 15 minutes a day and turn everything off.
Yeah.
And just sit.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, we are in a society where we are so eager to tell everybody what to do. Just sit and listen. And you'll get some answers.
Barry, you have a thought to someone that's out there that's just maybe searching for the Lord right now, or they're just going through a time of circumstance, or maybe there's adversity, or maybe they're just diehard sports fans, and you know, maybe they're addicted. I don't know. Maybe there's something. Speak to those people. You know.
Well, what's on my heart, Pete, is could you imagine an incredible athlete like this and an incredible team, and he doesn't have a coach. That's what God does for us. He knows all. He's all powerful, and he's everywhere. And His knowledge and His wisdom is so much higher than our wisdom. And I just need Him in my life. And maybe you found yourself in a situation where it's above you, it's beyond you, and you just don't know what to do, and you need a coach. Well, that's exactly what happens when you sit still, like Jay's talking about. Your coach will speak, and your coach will speak in you if you will let Him. And if you develop that relationship, we get to know God through His Word. But there has to be a moment in your life that you allow yourself to be drafted. And what does that mean? Well, first of all, I got to realize that I'm wanted, right? God has already said, I want you on my team. I want you to play for me. And even though we make mistakes, even though we're sinners, He sent His best recruiter after you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bridge a gap with His blood. Jesus died for your mistakes. Jesus died for your hangups. Jesus died for your sin so that you could be qualified, a part of the team, so that you could be drafted, so that you could become a part of the team. And when Jesus died on the cross and he carried that cross and He was beaten, He wasn't beaten because He did anything wrong. He was taking your stripes, your sin, your failures upon His own life. He sacrificed for you. He took your penalty so that you could be on the team. And, you know, what we must do next is believe. We must believe in the coach. We got to trust Him and believe that Jesus was His provision, that Jesus died for us, that he is God, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, that he defeated death, he defeated sin, he defeated Satan, and he defeated hell. And he's alive. He's already been there, and he knows it all. Go to the person that can really help you. And it was September 16th, 1988. We were playing Eastern Illinois. And someone shared this verse with me, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Can I tell you, my friend? You can know for certain that you're on the team, that you're a child of God, that you're forgiven of your sins, and that you will spend all of eternity in heaven because Jesus spoke these words. He said that if you confess me with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So do you believe? Well, then confess him. And confession is done through prayer, inviting Jesus Christ to be your head coach, the owner of the team, and have the right to sit on the throne of your life and be the authority to call the play for you. And so I just ask that you would pray with me right now. If you're hurting, if you're struggling, get help. And the help that really works is a relationship with God. Pray these words with me. Dear God, I know that you love me. I know that you created me. I know that you care about my circumstance. And I am lost. I need help. And I admit and I repent that I'm a sinner, that I've been living life for me and not for you, and I've been doing my own thing, and I just ask you to forgive me. And I believe that you sent your best, your son Jesus, to die for me in my place, taking my punishment upon himself, and that blows my mind that anybody would die for me. And I not only believe that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, and that he is alive. And because, Jesus, you are alive and you have proven yourself, I ask you to come and be my coach. I ask you to come and lead me and sit on the throne of my life so that I can be forgiven, so that I can have eternal life, and so that I can be on Team Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you pray that prayer, I want to scream. I want to yell. Louder than any fan, because the greatest moment of your life happened today. Let us know about it. Pete, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, you can just log on to riotpodcast.co, riotpodcast.co, and then on that, there's a section at the top, it says Know God. Click on Know God, and at the very bottom of it, it's going to ask you, did you give your life to Jesus? And you can go ahead and click on that, say yes, fill that out. We'd love to get you a Bible. We'd love to get you some material, get you connected with a local church that's in your area. And then if there's other questions that you have, if you're trying to know more about God, or you want to have some of those tough questions answered, like, you know, if God's so good, why does he allow killing, or whatever that is, we have a lot of those answers on that website as well. And you can find that. But Jay, we are so grateful that you've been with us, honored and blessed that you've come and hung out with us. We're going to have to do this again. Maybe next time we'll get you on a Skype call and call you in.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate you. And Bob, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I've got a few. It's just an amazing show. Jay, thank you. It's been a pleasure getting to listen to your stories and getting to know you a little bit. Hitting some golf balls with you yesterday, and just a great time. But just to recap the show real quick before we call this a wrap. You know, I think one of the takeaways is that we know Pete will lose a wrestling match to a 9-year-old girl over a Super Bowl ring. So that's something to keep in mind. But just, man, it's just some great stories. And I hope you guys caught that. And I think Barry even tried to back it up and make sure that you caught what Jay had said. And, you know, he said, football is what I do. It's not what I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is coming from a Pro Bowler. This is coming from someone that has won the Super Bowl, the pinnacle of this, of probably all sporting events, and he's saying that. And you know, you hear people say things like that, and sometimes it's just empty words. But I just watching Jay and listening to Jay over the last 45 minutes of this show, I can tell you, and I don't know if it came through, I don't know if you could hear it, but when Jay was talking about his kids, he lit up.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just that, I hope you came across through the podcast, mm-hmm. because visually, his face lit up, the joy, his eyes lit up, and that's how you know it's real, right? Mm. It's not just about Super Bowl. So even when he was talking about winning a Super Bowl, his eyes didn't light up like that. But when he was talking about his kids and talking about the charity work helping the kids, that's where his passion is. And it was just a really cool thing to see, Jay. And just really appreciate that. So, guys, you can reach out to us. Of course, the website, riotpodcast.co.co. And we would love to hear from you. Any of our social media platforms, whether it be Facebook or Instagram, those are both the Riot Podcast. And who else? What do we miss it? Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter. We have LinkedIn.
Yeah,
we have
LinkedIn. You find us everywhere. Yeah, but just remember, continue to download, subscribe. And
we're on
like
all the podcast networks.
Everywhere. So download from each one. No, seriously, though, please share this with your friends. We appreciate you so much. There's no reason to do this podcast if you're not listening. So we just want to thank you. Again, we just want you to know that we love you and that we pray for you every week. And this has just been another amazing show. Stay tuned next week as we get Pete's and Barry's Super Bowl picks. So make sure you tune in next week to get that. And
I kind of talked about it today.
Right?
I think Jay explained it the best, though, right?
He did.
That's exactly where I was coming from.
Just take his pick. So we'll see. You may change your mind.
We didn't talk about it before. So this was my thoughts before he even said anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was on the same thought process as he was.
Awesome. Jay, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, guys. Enjoyed it.
Be blessed. See ya.
Hey, guys, we heard from the real deal today. Thank y'all for joining us.
This has been the Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of the Riot Podcast.